This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Vicki Morton. Vicki is the Executive Director of Christian Help Employment and Resource Center, and this organization is a local nonprofit in Central Florida. Vicki, it's good to have you here today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we have such a wonderful array of leaders that are here. As you know, the podcasting program is here to help leaders who are listening to learn from you and your ideas and thoughts and things they might be able to apply in their work settings.
Right.
So that's our role here. And tell us a little bit about the positions that you've had over your 35 career years. a lot of different places, different things. Just give us a broad overview of where you've come from.
Right. Thank you. I have come from a variety, which I've really been blessed to actually partake in. The Lord has placed me in the early education arena in the past. So I was a preschool director for a long time. I have been a church planter. I got to work with some great pastors, starting some new concepts in a church movement here in Central Florida. I've dabbled in having a little bit of my own businesses here and there, but I've been in leadership a long time. I was also on the administration team at a local church. I served as the executive pastor there. I've been a Sunday school and Bible teacher. So yes, a lot of different things, but throughout the course of all of that, while it's been a lot of different industries, I have been in leadership a long time, and I've been blessed to have opportunities that gave me a lot of autonomy, and I got to learn a lot and have a lot of responsibility. So everything that you kind of need to do to run a business, whether it was a preschool or a church or to what I'm doing now, God has given me experience to do that, which is really to my favor.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You've had a lot of experience in a lot of different organizations, types of organizations as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're interested in transferable skills. And there are people who are listening to this that are maybe going from a spot to a spot to a spot, different industries as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And your thinking is that some skills that you learn in one organization are useful in another. Is that right?
Absolutely. A lot of our skills, most of our skills, I think, if we really think about it, are transferable, are universal to so many different industries. Where we can get kind of held up is that we begin to think of ourselves as a role as opposed to the skills that go with those roles. So when I look at a lot of resumes or I talk to people about what they're trying to do, they're stuck because they're stuck with what they've been called or where they've worked in an industry. And I try and expand their thinking as to what they've been doing, because as what I've done in a lot of leadership roles or management or whatever, that has to be done in any type of a company.
Right.
And so it is with a lot of leaders skills and what they do. Of course, you have to learn about a new industry or new company, but chances are what you're doing today is going to be useful elsewhere.
Terrific. So be encouraged. You're learning
yes.
as you go.
Be encouraged.
Tell us about Christian Help.
Christian Help is a wonderful organization. I'm so proud of it and passionate of it and passionate about it. I'm just blessed that God has called me to lead there. We have a great team of folks, both paid and non-paid, that just give their all to really prevent homelessness in Central Florida and have been doing so for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
So our sweet spot, if you will, is really in employment. We specialize in that, of teaching people how to find and keep their own job, everyone from an entry-level worker to a C-suite person.
I have I've had the opportunity to go back and look at your website as well. For people who are interested, it's christianhelp.org. And the mission there is to prevent homelessness by helping people find jobs while providing them materially and spiritually.
Correct.
What does materially and spiritually mean?
Thanks for asking. The material part for us primarily would be our food pantry. We are blessed to be a partner with a lot of grocery stores in the community, so we can pick up and distribute a lot of food. And that's necessary because that way people can continue, obviously, to maintain their health and their nutrition and that of their children, and then not get sidetracked from their job search because literally they're hungry. And then we have lots of resources, whether that's clothing or dental or health care, that we can point folks to. So anything that's going to help them overcome barriers to employment is going to be our material assistance. And then at Christmas, it looks like a shopping experience for parents that they get to shop for gifts for their children and teens. And then on the spiritual part, that part I love, of course, probably the most, because everything else is wonderful. But at the end of the day, if somebody doesn't know that they have value in Jesus and that they are made for a purpose and that God loves them no matter what they do or don't do, mm-hmm. particularly for a living, it's really all for naught. So the spiritual part is that we pray with all of our clients if they will have us do that. And we're going to pray for them even if they don't, maybe just not in their presence. But then share the love of Jesus with them and the gospel if they will give us that privilege. So I often say that we are Christians helping all people.
Terrific. We have a situation also when I took a look at your annual report for 2017. Mm-hmm. This is not a small organization. This is a distribution of 896,000 pounds of food.
Correct.
That have been given, and people connected with jobs total 7,500.
Yes, and that's like running every year, so yeah. it is a mighty lift.
Terrific. Now, I'm sure everyone can sense the passion that you have for this organization, and I want to get into your leadership thoughts more specifically in just a second. But before we do that, you have a personal story associated with this organization.
Yes.
Would you share that for just a minute?
Sure. About 20 years ago, I was a person in need myself. I was both a victim of circumstance and a victim of my own hand, as I often describe. And so I was in need. I was working, but the bills were not being paid, and cars were repossessed, and lights were being turned out, and my children were hungry. My life was literally a mess, both practically and spiritually. And so I was a client of several social services in the community, Christian Help being one of those. And so I went around and found resources and what I needed and began to avail myself of not only the practical but some great counsel, if you would, of how to pull myself up and out.
Okay, terrific. And that explains your passion, and it's not enabling people to get support and to get help and then need help and support again. It's
right.
Becoming self-sustainable and moving forward in that regard. And you're a great model.
Well, thank you. I just think that's so important. Otherwise, you hold people in bondage, really, if you don't show them a way forward or work with them to set them free.
So your job as executive director pretty much includes the CEO role,
right,
for the whole organization. Mm-hmm. And in that organization, you have clients, you have a board, you mm-hmm. have volunteers, and you have to be very flexible in the way you respond to all those people as
mm-hmm.
leaders,
mm-hmm.
different audiences. But there is one theme, I think, that can be characterized as what we call a Sunday to Monday theme.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you may hear or read in Scripture that you can take to the workplace and use. And this particular thought process has to do with the Pool of Bethesda.
Yes.
And the significance of what that message is to a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And not just someone who is helping, but helping a client come in, but to a person they're working with side by side.
Right.
Or as a CEO to somebody below or somebody above in a board situation. Tell us a little bit about the pool and how that story goes.
So for those of us that are familiar with that, there was a paralytic man in Bethesda at that pool there, and there's a place in Scripture that describes his situation. He's been there a long time, and at one moment he has an encounter with the Savior, and the question that Jesus basically asks him, if I may paraphrase a moment, is, do you really want to get well? Are you ready? Like, if I extend this moment to you in time, are you really ready by faith to step up and out, like whatever it takes to move forward.
Right. So Jesus actually says, John 5:6, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been lying there a long time, he said, "Do you want to be healed?"
Yes.
Here he was, and he said, "Do you want to be healed?"
And I think it's a great question, because one could assume from reading the story that of course he would want to. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a question for all of us, because I think the question has to be asked so that we can truly look at the answer within ourselves, because our answer should be reflective of our behavior, of our actions, of what happens next. Because a lot of times we may think we really want to be healed. We may really want to get well. We may really want to move up and out, so to speak. But until you're really ready to then make a move on your so-called yes to that, you don't really know. And I feel like in Scripture that Jesus was really asking the obvious, but it wasn't a question for Jesus. It was for the man, so that he could look within himself and basically think, well, we're about to find out, aren't we?
That's right.
What's going to happen
exactly
next?
Right. And then in the next verse, it indicates that the sick man answered Jesus, mm-hmm. "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I am going, another step down for me." So he had no way to get in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a pretty significant item as well for Jesus to illustrate.
Yes. And I think it also speaks to us living in community, being willing to receive help, and never giving up on looking for a way out, if you will. So I think there's so many principles in that passage there that we can look to from our own lives and how we're living them, as well as how we look to help other people.
Awesome. Okay, what do you think is maybe the most difficult or challenging part of your job as a leader?
The most? I have to pick one? I think that I can speak for probably a lot of leaders that I'm going to assume are like me in some regard, and that is, we love to work, we love to do things, because we love to see things, tasks accomplished, and yet we love people. We love to spend time with people of any type, right, regardless of their role. And so for me, and again, assuming it's a lot like this for other leaders, and that is to regulate ourselves between both of those. There is a time to hunker down, as I mm-hmm. call it, and to get some things done. But there is also a time to spend time with people. And that is so-called part of the job, is so-called getting things done, not that people are things. But the difficult part for me, because I'm so passionate about both loving both, is to know when it's time to spend time with people of any role for any reason, but then when I must, be undisturbed and sit down in my office and pore over the finances or whatever it is and actually accomplish some things. Or for me, I have grants to write and that type of thing. And so always checking to be sure that my time is spent appropriately in both of those arenas. And it's a challenge I listed as such, because it is so hard to do that, because without attending to it, you can get caught up in one or the other, neither right. being bad, but any time when there's too much time being spent, you end up neglecting the other that your role calls for. And I think as a leader, you have to be able to find that balance, because I don't think that you can be all in on one or the other, even really good at one or the other. The role calls for you to have your hand in all of those things at one time or another.
Right, right. And if you don't put them together, you lose the synergy that you get from either one of the two.
Right, right.
And moving that way.
Absolutely.
Well, you have an interesting reading list. For those that are listening in, I always ask for what books people are reading so mm-hmm. that we can share some thoughts and insights, maybe make recommendations to those that are listening. And one of the books that you list is also one that I am familiar with and like, and it's by George Barna. It's called A Fish Out of Water and 9 Strategies Effective Leaders Use to Help You Get Back into the Flow. Fish and flow.
That's
the way it works. So if you're not in the flow, this will help you do that. Tell us a little bit about what you learned. Are learning. I think you are reading it right now.
I am reading it right now.
Okay.
Fresh as this morning, as a matter of fact.
Oh, good.
And so I'm learning a lot, as I always am. It seems like no matter how long I'm in leadership, I always have so much to learn. And I love that, actually. I love that that's part of the passion of it. But always how to get better, how to do the balance, the juggling act better. One of the things I'm focused on right now that the book is helping me think through is on vision casting, what the Lord would be calling our ministry out to, and therefore me as its leader in the future. What does that look like? How does that come about? Strategic planning along those lines. And then my own character and leadership style. I like to never take anything for granted. And so the thing that I was impressed upon, even is, like I said, as fresh as this morning's chapter, is how important it is that a leader that claims to be a follower of Jesus be a person of exemplary character, that we must have that in check, not in a self-righteous way, but to be sure that the moment our name and our leadership style and methods become attached to the King of Kings, that is not a point of confusion for anyone, and that our character be in high regard, and that we be working on ourselves to be changed by Jesus and therefore to look more like him every day. And as we do that, we not only become better leaders in a very practical sense, but we testify to who he is, and then we more easily can influence people and the work he's called us to do in a way that brings him glory and that has its greatest effectiveness. And so the book is just addresses that and makes me check my own self.
Good. And if I remember that chapter appropriately, it also talks about being worried that people won't follow you as a leader. Mm-hmm. And do you have the skill to be a leader? And do you have all the talents that are necessary? And you make the case, and he makes the case, that, look, it's not a matter of talent. It's a matter of character.
Yes.
And that people follow character.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, it becomes important for us to build character as leaders and project to others that we have high character.
Right.
And that draws others. It draws others because they can trust them.
Yes, and the book talks about the difference between habitual leaders and situational leaders. And it's a good reminder for us to look at that and call that out in all different types of people. And also for myself, I never like to put myself in a position to where people have expectations of me as though, well, that's what she's supposed to do. She's the leader, but not necessarily of themselves. And so I like to call people out, the own leader within them, and therefore what they are capable of doing and what God has for them to do in a way and only that they can do it, and the character that's even required of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, this segregation of where, oh, well, again, that's her role. That's how she's supposed to be.
Right.
Like, that's far removed from the rest of the culture.
Right. And it also calls us into the situation that we shouldn't be one type of leader all the time. And
right.
That as situations change, then leadership style should change a little bit. And I've also been interested in habitual and situational leaders and studying them as well.
Well, I think that's part, again, of a good leader is being adaptable. I don't want to come into the room and like, oh, I'm here, and let me just school you on how I am, and therefore everybody adapt to me. I feel like as a leader, there is a style I have that probably is primary, I know, but also to be able to look at the folks I'm working with, the audiences I'm speaking to, the groups I'm talking to, or whatever, the folks I'm working with, as I said, and learn quickly about them and what's the best style that I can bring to work with them in a way that they're comfortable with and that they could even maybe best learn from me.
Excellent. We end each podcast with, I don't know if you can believe this, but we're at the end.
We're closing up.
Yeah,
thank you.
It goes quickly.
It's great.
But we end with a pearl of wisdom, which is, what thought or idea would you like to project somebody right now who is on a run and listening to this with earplugs, earpods? What do you want to leave them with? What's your bit of advice? And again, I'm going to ask you to whittle it down to one.
Okay.
And what should they remember?
There are lots of great things that a leader needs to have their hand to. I absolutely get a leader's pull in so many different directions and the whirlwind and the demands on our time and talent and all the expectations. It seems like it's just never done, and that to me is part of the craziness of it and part of the draw, mm-hmm. you know. But regardless of who you are, how big the responsibility, however you see yourself in any mix, wherever God has placed you, the most wonderful, beneficial thing you ought to do above all else every day consistently is spend time with Jesus. You must do that. We are fooling ourselves if we think that the importance of our work can exceed that and therefore put him off, put him aside. I'll get to it tomorrow, whatever it is, that he equipped me yesterday and therefore I'm good for 48 hours as opposed to 24. It is okay to be hungry for the master, to be hungry for his word, to need prayer, to have that type of dependency on him. So do that no matter what. Let everything else go, but stay with Jesus every day.
A good thought. And I automatically go to the idea of wisdom, and the more you know Jesus and his thoughts, mm-hmm. the wiser you become.
Yes.
And it says in James 1:5, and we've all heard this, I'm sure, but if any of you lacks wisdom, simply ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
People usually don't get to the next verse that starts with a but,
mm-hmm.
and it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt.
Right.
And then you will get what you ask for and help in that regard.
Yes, I often remind Jesus of what his word says, that it is better to have wisdom than silver or gold, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're right. And then when I ask him for that, I have to trust and leave it at his feet, that he knows how to speak to me, that I'm going to receive that and therefore execute what he's given me to do with wisdom.
Terrific. Okay, Vicki, time is up. I'm going to have to close here.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much for being here today. You listeners can find Vicki with the email address vickie@christianhelp.org. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. I'll see you next Wednesday. In the meantime, you already know what I'm going to say. Keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.